Expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. I can't do that as well as Mark by any means, but this is Chris Kellstrom and my co-host Janet Chandler. We're going to hang around for the next couple of hours.
Yeah, different show, same people.
Yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to Mark and Sissy. They lost a very important member of their family, and our thoughts are with you guys, and we're really sorry for your loss. And
when it's a family of liberty, we all suffer when one suffers.
So we hope you the best, and we wish you the best, and our prayers are with you. So you guys take care and stay strong, and hopefully they'll be back next week. In the meantime, we usually start out Sovereign Minds, and we go pretty early to Sissy gets on to the veterans stuff that's going on and around in the community. So we don't have Sissy here today, but we do have Frank Rose. Frank Rose, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
All right. Is there something you'd like to talk about that's happening with veterans in the upcoming weeks?
Yes, I do. There's a free film screening put on by the VFW Post, the 19650, and KIXETV. And this pre-screening is called Served Like a Girl. And it's going to be on Saturday, May the 19th at 5 p.m. at Anderson VFW Hall and 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. And the reason for the film is a first-time film about women in the service. There are seven ladies that are in it, and they're from all different branches of service, and a lot of them have been in as much as 22 years in the service. But one particular one that caught my fancy in a preview that was given to me was a young lady that was in a Humvee and in Afghanistan, went over a mine, and the rest of the crew was killed. And she survived, but in her survival, she lost both of her legs. And all of the film about all these women is about sexual harassment and PTSD in the service and other traumas that women go through. And so what we're asking you to do, it's free, to come down to the VFW on May 19th at 5 p.m. and do a little viewing. Now, the VFW is going to put on a presentation to let you know what the VFW can do for veterans. And also, we're going to have two guests. There are two psychologists, a mother and a son. And the mother's a Native American, and she's been over 40 years in serving veterans with PTSD. And her son is over at the mental clinic. He also has been serving PTSD veterans. So I want you to come along, enjoy yourself, and the canteen will be open as well, so you can go in and out and have a beverage to enjoy yourself in a comfortable attitude. Okay, anybody have any questions? You can contact the Post, 365-9650, or you can call me, 247-3844. And besides all that, let's go with the state of Jefferson and all those great minds that are here now.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. Just a reminder, tomorrow we do have the Patriots meeting down at 2570 South Bonneview Road. Mark Baird will be our guest speaker. So meeting starts at 6. If you'd like to go to Jefferson meeting beforehand, we have two of them at 5:30. So we'll talk to some new people, and we'll also have our regular Jefferson group meet and talk about things that are upcoming. So that's tomorrow night. Monday night, 6 p.m., 5:30 for Jefferson, 2570 South Bonneview Road. So I believe before we left the Jefferson show, we were talking about what we envision Jefferson to look like or what we envision Jefferson to be when we become the 51st state. So let's get right back into that. Any of you guys out there listening, if you have some comments or questions or whatever, give us a call. Let us know what you think Jefferson should look like.
Okay. we talk about rights. And in the Declaration of Independence, it talks about inalienable rights. But do you really know what that means? And again, if you don't know what it is, it doesn't exist. If you don't know what your rights are, you don't have them. So if you look at that word inalienable, there's the root word in the middle, lien, L-I-E-N. And you should know what that means. That means there is a duty, a charge, something that binds it down. Our rights are inalienable. You can't bind them down. They can't be taken away. They are free. They are unencumbered. We forget this when we start talking about gun rights and Second Amendment rights. And they've got this weird idea out there that they might take away the Second Amendment. They might have an amend. They might amend the Constitution to remove the Second Amendment. If you didn't give it to me, you can't take it away. God gave us the first 10 amendments. Those are inalienable rights. Government can't take them away. So when we are talking about Jefferson, remember, the rights that you get under Jefferson are inalienable because they come from the Constitution.
So
what are those rights?
So they're not rights that come from aliens, right? They don't come from there?
Well, it depends on your definition of God. I don't know, your creator. And again, the Constitution, well, the Declaration of Independence was very coy about that. They didn't specify a religion. They didn't specify even God. They called it your creator. So from wherever you think you came, that's who gave you your rights, from your creator. Okay. So the state of Jefferson will have a Bill of Rights, and it is based on the federal Bill of Rights. It is a voluntary contract with Jefferson and the federal government. We can revoke our membership if we wish, because we are going into this contract willingly and with our eyes open, and maintaining our rights. We're not giving up rights except those that we have given to the federal government for our protection. And those are the basic ones. We say, federal government, we want you to protect us from outside invasion. We want you to regulate trade with foreign countries. We want you to regulate conflicts between the states. And those are listed, and they are finite. We have not given the federal government infinite rights. They are specific, and they are limited. We also want to maintain the idea of nullification. If you want to get a good education, look up jury nullification online, and you will get some good ideas as to just what is available for nullification. If a bill is passed by Congress and it does not meet constitutional, the states have the right to nullify it. It doesn't exist. If it is not constitutional, it has no bearing in law. In Jefferson, we are going to try something new. We are going to institute a constitutional compliance committee. There is no sense in debating or passing laws that are on the face unconstitutional. So we are going to have proposed legislation be certified that it does have a nexus, a connection with both the state and the federal constitution. Don't waste time with it if it doesn't have that connection. And boy, you could go through our federal laws right now and find absolutely no connection whatsoever to the federal constitution.
Is the banning of the sale of the Bible, is that covered under the Constitution somewhere?
Oh, don't you just wonder, where are they getting these ideas? Yeah, we don't like what you think, what you say, so we're going to make it unlawful. Well, it can't be unlawful if there's no law connecting it to the Constitution.
How about the limiting the supply of ammunition somebody can buy? Did the British come to take our guns back in Lexington, or was that, did they have something else?
One word takes care of that. It's infringed, shall not be infringed. And I don't care when Hillary Clinton sits there and says, well, all of those rights in the Bill of Rights are subject to reasonable regulation. No, they're not. Would you please define reasonable?
Yeah, I think Daniel Webster defined a whole bunch of stuff, like every word in the Constitution, so that they couldn't be changed later on in life, if I remember correctly.
And if you want a good book in your library, go get the 1828 Daniel Webster's Dictionary, and it is the basis for our Constitution.
Does infringed mean limit to 10 shells per magazine?
I don't think so.
It's not in there? Huh. Okay, I'll have to look at that.
And I won't be more specific, but my son, who just recently acquired a new weapon, fixed it so that it is more to his liking. It won't be to the liking of the state of California, but in their ignorance, they did not cover what he did to the weapon. So it is legal, but it looks just like an assault weapon.
Ooh, that's scary.
Yes. And there was one absolutely ignorant woman on a YouTube that I watched recently, and she was just lambasting another man about the AR-15. And he said, "Lady, do you know what an AR-15 is?" She said, "Yes, it's a military weapon, and nobody has a right to a military weapon." And he said, "No, it is a civilian weapon. The military wouldn't use it. It's not sturdy enough for military use." And all she could do was just sit there and blubber. Well, blah, 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 blah. Luckily, the state of California has some legislators who are just about that stupid. Well, a lot of them who are that stupid.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, I think we're going to go to a break. We have Andrew on the phone, so when we come back from our break, we'll get to Andrew. Andrew, hold on a little bit. We'll be right back with you.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
White and blue, and I'm a Jefferson American.
I'm also green and gold, and I'm a Jefferson American.
All right, we have Andrew on the phone. Andrew, are you still there?
Yes, I am, and my condolences to the Kents for their loss. Regarding the constitutionality or the, I don't know how you phrased it.
The constitutional compliance.
Yeah, Department of Constitutional Compliance.
Right, right. Is there going to be teeth in that should these people down the road, and it usually happens, try to incorporate unconstitutional laws? Is there any criminality, I mean, any teeth, anything we can do to adjudicate these treasonous SOBs? I think I said that right.
Built into the Constitution is what we have hoped will be controls on our elected officials and on our bureaucracy. And rather than just saying, oh, my gosh, you violated the Constitution, there will be civil and criminal penalties for violating your oath of office.
Because, that's what I want.
Yeah, we recognize that as a serious problem. So what? So you violated the Constitution or you violated your oath of office. What happens now? Nothing.
Well, Brown says, so what? Sue me.
Exactly.
That's what he says now.
Well, under
so
the,
now we're tied up.
Yeah, under the Jefferson Constitution, there will be criminal and civil penalties.
And no laws will be passed that are unconstitutional because every bill that is written will have to go through the Department of Constitutionality. They will have to decide on their own before it ever gets to be voted on for a bill to be voted on by a law. It'll have to go through the Department of Constitutionality. And if it's unconstitutional in any way, it gets kicked back and it does not be voted into a law. So
a few years ago, we went before the Board of Supervisors in Shasta County and petitioned them with our grievance that we wanted them to listen to our presentation on the state of Jefferson. We came there petitioning with a redress of grievance, which is our First Amendment constitutional right, guaranteed right. And the Board of Supervisors said, no, we don't want to listen. Goodbye. Go away. Well, under Jefferson, we could have filed charges against them for violating our rights. And they could have been held civilly and criminally responsible, as they should have been in California, but then, you know, there are no penalties. We want to change that in Jefferson.
And by the way, not only did they vote no, but David Kehoe made a motion to never talk about it again unless there was a majority of the council members that wanted to even talk about it again, and Les Boss seconded that motion, and that passed, so they can never talk about Jefferson again in the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I mentioned both of those guys because they are the two that completely torpedoed Jefferson to never be brought up again. And by the way, guys, that was 4 years ago, and both those guys are up for re-election. So please remember that when you go to the ballot box here in June 5th, David Kehoe, Les Baugh, both torpedo Jefferson, made a motion to never talk it about again, and they're up for re-election. So I'm sure they think most people have forgotten. I will remind everybody I possibly can.
And there is a high California official who said, yes, you have the right to petition for a redress of grievance, but we don't have the obligation to listen to it. So there's your representation.
Yeah, but you're exactly right. People need to be held accountable, and they're not.
Well, Again, not just civilly. I mean, hit their pocketbooks. They may fly straight, you know.
If you were up to losing your position over filing something that was unconstitutional or doing something unconstitutional, if you had somebody to answer to and you would immediately be let go, I think that would stop a lot of that.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, no, certainly. And Janet, I did vote for you in District 3, and I have to say that Mary, I emailed her regarding the sanctuary status, and she complied with my will anyway, not to be a sanctuary county, and I know you would have done the same, absolutely. So, two of those folks abstained from voting? Where's their spine?
Well, they have a spine, but it only goes for their good and their benefit, not yours. So
right.
They're doing exactly what they want to do, but it isn't what you want them to do. And thank you for your comments about voting for me. And also, I agree with you about Mary. She did do what the people asked of her, and I sent her a thank you note. As did I.
A request, you know, please do this, and then thanked her for doing my will.
And I think we too often forget to do the thank yous. We write to our officials and we say, I want you to do this and this needs to happen. But how many times do you actually respond and say thank you for doing what we asked or thank you for standing up? Don't forget to write as many letters of praise as you do letters of complaint.
And you're
perhaps 3% of us do it. That's why 3%. From the Revolutionary Times on, very few of us stand up and make a difference.
You both are absolutely right. A letter of thank you is important, but, you know, I feel I give my thank you every time I see my withholding on my check. Those are my employees. I pay them. They should be doing what I want them to do. But you're right. A thank you note is nice. But I would like to get a thank you note from them every week when I look at my paycheck and go, well, they're winning another $1,000. Where's my thank you?
Andrew, one more point on our officials that we elect in Jefferson. In order to run for office or in order to be appointed to office, it is our proposal in the Constitution that all of those people have to take a Constitution test. They have to prove not only that they've read it, but they understand it. If you're going to take an oath to uphold both the California, excuse me, bite my tongue, the Jefferson and the federal Constitution, you better know what you're taking an oath to uphold. Now, in the case of an elected official, we cannot require that they pass it because that goes beyond our authority. But in the case of an appointed official, we can set a passing score. And if you can't pass that test, you can't be hired by the state of Jefferson. And if you are an elected official, your score will be made public, just as your financial standing is made public. And if people want to vote for someone who can't pass the Constitution test, well, that's their right, but they better know it going in.
There's no sense in getting hysterical here in interjecting common sense. Good Lord, woman. I love it. Super.
Yeah, common sense ain't too common.
Well, no, but I'd like to see it again. Anyway, thank you again, and super job sitting in today.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Okay, we have another caller. We have Norm on the line. Norm, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Norm, what do you got for us
today? I got a question for you.
Okay.
What time should people be at the Robert Matsui courthouse?
Well, Mark said 9 o'clock.
Okay.
The things that are being posted say 10 o'clock. I think 9 o'clock is a much better answer because
I got a brother-in-law that lives in Roseville, and he does a lot of hanging out at Sun City in Lincoln. So he said if I would get the time, he would see if he could round up a bunch of those people from Sun City to be there on the 1st.
Yeah, 9 o'clock would be best because even if the court doesn't start until 10, it's going to take an hour to get through the metal detectors and all the screenings. And hopefully it'll take 2 hours because hopefully we'll have about 5,000 people down there. But
let's hope so.
Yep, let's go for 9 o'clock.
I'll let him know.
All right, Norm. Thank you. All right,
let's get back to that Jefferson Constitution and see what it looks like. Just some ideas, some things for you to think about that it may not have occurred to you because you're so used to living under a particular system. We are guaranteed a right by jury. Does that jury have to contain a certain number of people? Do you understand that there is no place in our founding documents that say you are entitled to a jury by your peers? It doesn't appear any place. You're not guaranteed a jury of your peers. Define peers. I don't know. The definition in England would be far different from what it is in the United States. Do the judges in Jefferson have to tell the jurors that they have the right to jury nullification? Do you even know what jury nullification is? Do you understand that as a juror, you have the right not only to try the facts of the case, but also the law of the case? And if you find that the law is lacking, that you have a right to find that person not guilty, even if they have been shown to violate a law? Should we expand the role of grand juries in Jefferson? In California, grand juries are practically nothing more than civil investigatory agencies. They don't really do the job of a grand jury, which means to bring indictments and charges. Can the accused act as his own counsel in Jefferson? Does his counsel have to be an attorney? And while we're going on that direction, do judges have to be attorneys? Will Jefferson be a state that is too much ruled by attorneys, or should we limit attorneys' powers? Now, I know attorneys out there are going to get very upset. But do we need attorneys telling us how to run our state? I think we have too many attorneys in our legislature.
Now, Janet is posting all these things as questions, and the reason she's posing those as questions is they have worked on a rough draft of the Constitution, but there is going to be input from everybody. All the counties are going to have input on this, and these are some of the questions that we'll be asking and we'll be deciding on. So she's asking these questions, and she's asking them to all you people out there. If you would like some of these questions answered, or if you have, you think something's extremely important and should be in that Constitution, get involved. Get on the Constitution Committee. Get involved. Have your voice heard. Have your say heard. There's a lot of great ideas out there. We are all grassroots. We are all volunteers. And, you know, we've come up with some fantastic ideas, but we want input.
And I guarantee you that on the Constitution Committee, we did not all agree on everything, and you should have been there and seen some of the unhappy people and the arguments and people stalking off to cool down. It was not just everything sweetness and light. There are a lot of controversies. There are a lot of people who have strong opinions, and there are other people who have strong opinions in the opposite direction. So it was a learning experience, and I had great sympathy for the founding fathers back there in the summer of 1787 when they were trying to put together our Constitution. It is not an easy process.
Yeah, and Philadelphia has nothing on Reading in the summertime. So
no, at least we don't have as much humidity here. We were lucky, though. We did most of it by phone and computer.
Perfect. All right, I think we're coming up on another break. So Janet just asked a whole bunch of questions with a lot of good info. So let's hear some calls and see what you have to say.
Of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still unseen. Sadly in search of.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, May 18th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
For some, yard work isn't a chore. It's a passion. If you're someone who loves being outside and takes pride in your lawn, then you need the Honda HRX, one of the most technologically advanced walk-behind mowers on the planet. The HRX features the VersaMow system, a unique 4-in-1 system that lets you bag, mulch, discharge, or shred leaves with no attachments. Then there's Honda's exclusive MicroCut twin blade cutting system, which gives you finer clippings for more bagging capacity, or when mulching, finer clippings that actually help feed your lawn. Plus, the HRX's handle and controls are ergonomically designed to be comfortable on your hands. A limited lifetime warranty on the Nexsight deck and an impressive 5-year limited warranty on the mower make the HRX one of the best values anywhere. To learn more, just visit Honda.com. Better yet, come see the Honda HRX at Lee's Honda, 2230 Larkspur Lane in Reading. Serving the North State from the same location since 1967, online at Lee'sHonda.com.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Hey, this is Kenny Breedlove at Market Street Steakhouse. On behalf of Wes and I want to personally thank all the first responders, including fire, police, and medical. All of us at Market Street Steakhouse appreciate all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds. Again, this is Chris Kellstrom and Janet Chandler filling in for Mark Kent, Red Smith, and Linda Kent. So we left the last episode there on some bumper music with in honor of Lavoy Finicum. And I just want to take a quick second here. And the Finicums have filed a lawsuit against the federal government. And if anybody has a chance to read the lawsuit, I tried to pull it up now. I didn't get the whole thing, but It was a great, the opening statement is great. It compares the North Korean defector, I guess you would call him, that ran across the border in a hail of gunfire with a tyrannical government shooting at him to keep him from escaping their clutches to freedom. And the lawsuit opens with the statement that Lavoie Finicum was doing much the same thing. He was trying to flee the county that he was in to get to a sheriff in a county or to another county that was constitutional. And he was shot in the back by his own government, and he died in a hail of gunfire. So it's a pretty interesting lawsuit. People don't know about it. They don't know really what happened. If you listen to the news, which, God, I hope there's nobody listening to this show that still listens to the news. But if you listen to the news, you know he was a right-wing extremist terrorist that was taking over government buildings, and it was nothing of the sort. So anyway, speaking of constitutional counties and constitutional sheriffs, let's get back to the Jefferson Constitution, because I'd sure love to live in one of those counties.
Oh, me too. Actually, in my mind, I already do. Like I said, I'm divorced from California. It's my ex. I've moved on to better things. And while we're talking about Constitution, we talk about constitutional rights. There really are no such things. And I would like to have all of us start changing the way we think about them and the way we refer to them. They are natural, creator-given, God-given rights that are protected, guaranteed, and enumerated by the Constitution. If you call them constitutional rights, then you have this idea that if you amend the Constitution, you can take away that right. No, the right stays. I don't care if it's written down or not. It's your right because you were born, your creator granted it to you. Claim it. Don't let people talk about changing the Constitution and taking away your rights. It can't happen if you are smart. So let's look at religion. Now, that is quite a contentious right. We have the freedom of religion guaranteed by the Constitution federally, and it will be guaranteed by the Jefferson Constitution. But how do you balance that? How do you balance your freedom of religion with somebody else's view of their religion? My religion may look at another and say, well, that's terrorism or that's a cult. How do you protect people from invasion and still protect a freedom of religion? It's not an easily answered problem, but it is something that will have to be dealt with. Now, probably my most important segment of the rights under the Jefferson Constitution is the right of property, life, liberty, and property. And then we get into this issue of licenses and permits. In a free society that honors liberty, should we have licenses and permits? I'm married. The big rite of passage before I got married was to go down to the county courthouse with my husband and get a marriage license. What is a license? Well, that's permission by the government to do something that would otherwise be illegal. Would it be illegal for me to get married? Do I have to ask permission from the government to get married? Do I have to pay them a fee so they will allow me to get married? We didn't used to do that.
And along those lines, folks, if you think about what Janet just said, and you think about those things, gay marriage would not be an issue if the government was not involved. If two people wanted to get married, it doesn't really matter who they are, what sex they are. It makes no difference if the government is not involved. If two men want to get married together or a woman and man want to get married, why is it the government's business? Why is the government in the middle of that anyways? And if the government was not in the middle of that and a same-sex couple wanted to get married, who would stop them? They may not be welcome in a certain church if those churches don't have, you know, their same beliefs, but they could still be legally married if the government was not involved.
And many people don't realize this, but we didn't used to have marriage licenses. You went to a minister and it was recorded in the church documents or in the family Bible, or the judge married people and recorded it with the state or the county or whatever. Marriage licenses did not come into effect until they wanted to control intermarriage between the races. And that's when they decided that you had to have a marriage license so they could see that you were not marrying someone of a different race. It's sad that now the government makes you think that it can't be done any other way. How about a driver's license? Why do you need a driver's license? Again, permission by the state to do something that would otherwise be illegal. Was it illegal to ride a horse through town, or did you have to have a driver's license for a horse? I guess a rider's license. Did you need a license to drive your wagon through town? When did it change that you had to have a driver's license to drive a car?
When the cavemen were stabbing mastodons with spears, did they have a hunting license back then, Janet?
I don't think so.
Huh. How about if they, maybe some of, Ishi, for instance, some of our Native Americans, when they were fishing, did they have a fishing license?
Not that I know of, because they probably didn't have enough paper and ink on which to write them. Now, it's not saying that you don't want them in Jefferson, but I want you to think about the reasons that we have them, and is that something that we wish to perpetuate in Jefferson? How about business licenses? Why do you have to get permission from the county or the state to do someone's nails or to cut their hair or to sell products? Now, I know the argument is, well, I want to make sure that the person is competent. Well, in Jefferson, the first thing that we want is for you to be individually accountable for your own safety and your own life. And if you want to make sure that someone is competent, that's your job. Why does it become the government's job to make sure that you are safe? That's up to you. Individual responsibility. A building permit. If you want to build a house that is shoddy and will fall down, that's your problem. An insurance company probably won't give you fire insurance on it. And if anybody is hurt because your building falls down, then you are civilly liable. But why is it the government's responsibility to make sure that your house is done properly?
So when our first settlers came out here and they were mining and trapping, and they built a trapping cabin or a mining shack, they didn't get a building permit for that?
Oh yeah, they did. Yeah, they went back. You know, if you were hunting for furs in Wyoming territory, you went back to St. Louis to get a building permit for your
a trapping license, too.
Yes, you did. I'm sure of it. Yeah.
So, you see, again, we it's hard for us to think about these things and wrap our heads around them. But, again, do we need all the license and permits and fees and penalties and everything else that, you know?
And here is one that has been important to the Jefferson movement. When we go down to Sacramento to have our rallies, our protests, we have to get permission from the city of Sacramento to congregate. If they can give you permission, they can also deny you permission.
And
then what happens to our right to peaceably assemble? It is a right. And if you have to get a permit, then it's no longer a right. It's granted permission by the state. So then that means you can't meet if they say no. Well, in the past, yeah, that's kind of what it's meant.
Hey, we got another caller. We got Bob from Redding on the line. Maybe Bob has an idea on some license we should have in Jefferson. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, good morning again. You know, you've been doing a great job on this again, but something you haven't let the people know, they want to find this information out. They want to answer to some of your questions about the amendments and stuff of that at Jefferson and the Constitution. You ought to let them know to go to soj51.net or .org, and they could get on and punch in whatever they need, because I think a lot of people don't understand where to go find this stuff, and I just thought maybe you ought to mention it. And when it comes to building stuff, like Janet was saying, you can build whatever you want. But I think a state ought to have some sort of rules on building and hold them at that. And that's it. Because if you build a stick house and it burns down, you can't expect your insurance company to cover it.
Well,
away with insurance companies, it ain't going to matter. Whatever you build, you build.
Will that be between you and the state, or will that be between you and your insurance company?
You and the insurance company, I guess, but they probably want certain rules that you need to build it.
And your insurance company can't give you those rules? Your insurance company can't say, hey, Bob, if you're going to build a house of sticks with gasoline cans as a base, we're not going to insure you? Or do you have to have the state step in and say, hey, Bob, on behalf of your insurance company, we're going to make sure you don't build a house full of sticks with a base of and gasoline cans.
There you are.
Okay.
Yeah, we can remove the state and make it between two private individuals, the insurance company and the builder, and make that a contract between them. You could also do the same thing with driver's licenses and insurance companies. Why does
That's
the state
right.
need to be involved?
Because I remember in Round Mountain, I had to put gravel on my driveway. I had to go get a permit. Now, they told me I had to put gravel on my driveway to save the dirt. But then I had to get a permit to put the gravel on my driveway.
We are being
that cost me more than the gravel did.
Yeah, we're being permitted to death in California. I think we're ready for a break.
Yep. Hey,
you
Bob.
Got it.
Thanks for
Thank you, folks. You're doing a great job.
All right, and thanks for bringing that up. SOJ51.org does have a lot of information. It's not going to have the Constitution on there yet because we haven't completed it. It hasn't been voted on. But, yeah, SOJ51.org, you get a lot of info there. So brings us to our next break.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Shasta County seniors, families, and caregivers, it is time for the Healthy Aging Fair Friday, May 11th in the Mount Shasta Mall in front of JCPenney. This is your chance to meet and learn about businesses, agencies, and services that serve Shasta County seniors. Don't miss this informational event on Friday, May 11th. Visit over 40 booths inside Mount Shasta Mall from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, May 11th. Enter to win great prizes, enjoy food discounts, free health screenings, and more. The event begins at 9 a.m. on May 11th with prize drawings at 12:30. Vendors include Accent Care Home Health, Shasta Suicide Prevention, Shining Care, Senior Helpers, MD Imaging, Hilltop Estates and Shasta Estates, Social Security, California Telephone Access Program, Dignity Home Health and Hospice, United Way, the State Controller's Office, Medical Home Care Professionals, and Windsor Care Center. The Healthy Aging Fair, Friday, May 11th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in front of JCPenney. Brought to you by the Older Adult Policy Council. It's all to benefit Elder Abuse Awareness Month.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
I want to thank our first responders in Shasta and Tehama County. The lives you save and the property you protect help us enjoy our wonderful Northern California outdoors. This is Jeff Avery, State Farm Insurance Agent, and I want to thank you again for all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
State of Jefferson, State of Mind. One thing we get a lot of questions on or comments on, Janet, maybe you can answer this or give some thoughts, is Proposition 13, the one thing California does have going for it, and that was because it was by the people, by the way, was Proposition 13, where our property taxes used to change every year. Price of property would go up. The taxes would go up with them. They could change the percentage. They could do all sorts of stuff. Will we have something like a Prop 13 that will protect the homeowners in Jefferson?
Well, let me give some background on this. I'm old enough to remember before we had Prop 13, I grew up on a citrus ranch in Southern California, and our property taxes were, let's say, $500 a year. And then the county decided that they did not want citrus ranches planted. They wanted houses planted. And the best way to do that was to manipulate property taxes. So they decided not to evaluate the property based on what it was worth as a citrus ranch, but on what it would be worth if you subsidized, if you subdivided and put in houses. The property taxes over a two-year period of time tripled. And, of course, it was impossible for my parents to maintain that kind of bill. So Howard Jarvis and Gann brought in Proposition 13, which limited property to one property taxes to 1% of the assessed valuation. Before that, we had retired people being property taxed out of their homes, actually having to sell the home because they, even if it were paid for, they couldn't afford the property taxes. It was a blessing to the state of California, except it took away money and control and power to the legislators. Right now, the Howard Jarvis Tax Association is fighting very hard to protect your property, your Proposition 13 rights. And every year the legislature tries to come in and pass something to reduce Prop 13. The one this year is they're trying to split the Prop 13 between commercial property and residential property. And they say, well, if you have a commercial property, you need to pay higher taxes. That should be done differently than residential property. Well, if they can do it to commercial this year, they can do it to residential next year. So be very careful about things that say, let's raise the property taxes, but only on commercial property. Now, let's jump to Jefferson. I keep saying Jefferson is interested in the private, the rights of life, liberty, and property. Property is extremely important. How in Jefferson can we say that you have private property rights if you have to pay rent to the government to keep your property? And property tax is nothing more than a rental payment. Stop paying your property tax and see how long it takes the state landlord to come in and kick you off of your land. In Jefferson, we would love to see a system in which there are no property taxes. We are looking at consumption tax, which would, it's a little bit complex and there are a lot of explanations, but we would like to see an end to property tax because as a founder of the state of Jefferson, I cannot sit here and tell you that I am protecting your property rights if I charge you tax on your property. And that's where it is in Jefferson.
Yeah, it sounds to me like, I mean, if worst case scenario, you have property taxes, you know, I just can't see the constitutionality of throwing someone out of their home because they didn't pay a fee to the government to stay in that home. I mean, I would like to see the worst case scenario. Doing away with property taxes would be ideal, no question about that. But I would even like to see if for some reason we couldn't do that to say, well, you know, we can put a lien against your property so that upon your demise, the property will have to pay that lien or those back taxes. But yeah, to just the thought of throwing somebody out of their home that they spent 30 years to pay for because they didn't pay their property taxes afterwards, just totally unconstitutional to me.
Even with a lien, you are still encumbering their property.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. No question. Yeah, I agree.
And we are envisioning, again, these are just ideas, we are envisioning a sales tax, which is paid on the sale of the property, just like you pay any other sales tax. And it gets paid either over a period of 3 years, or you just work it right into the cost of the house loan or whatever. So rather than property tax that goes on forever and ever, it would be a sales tax that is limited.
Now, speaking of sales tax, when you buy a new vehicle, you pay sales tax on that new vehicle. When you sell that vehicle that you've already paid taxes on, the new buyer pays another sales tax on it. If he sells that vehicle, the new buyer pays another sales tax on it. Does that seem fair? Does that seem something Jefferson would do?
If you're going to have a sales tax, that's how it would work.
Hmm.
Every time something is sold, you would pay a sales tax, which is far more fair than an income tax or a property tax, because you can regulate it. If you don't want to pay a sales tax, then don't buy something.
Yeah, that's one way to go around it, that's for sure.
Obviously, there are services that are going to be provided by a state or a county. Somebody has to pay for the services. In Jefferson, we try to limit the number of services that will be provided so we can limit the amount of money that you have to pay in taxes.
Yeah, and your services are all going to be controlled by the county. That's what we envision. The county is going to control the services, not a big, bloated state bureaucracy. Obviously, there are certain things we need. We need our roads fixed, which we don't have now. We need law enforcement, which we do have now, except we have a full jail, so we may as well not have law enforcement because, unfortunately, their hands are tied. We need things like jails, which we do need now, and we don't have the money for some reason. We need fire suppression. So there's things that we do need in Jefferson, and we will have in Jefferson, but those decisions will be in the county. So if Shasta County maybe has excess funds in the fire department because, you know, they're burned down now, so we don't need as many firefighters as we once did, well, then maybe they can move some of that money over to creating a new jail, or maybe creating a new jail with some inmate firefighters in there. So, you know, there's things that the county can decide. You know, Humboldt County knows what's better for Humboldt County. Modoc County knows what's better for Modoc County. Shasta County should know what's better for Shasta County. The state of California doesn't know what's better for any of those counties. So,
and look at the overlapping of services. We have city fire departments, county fire departments, CAL FIRE. In Jefferson, we see blending those all into one agency so you are not duplicating the overlap and the expenditure for different administrations. The same with law enforcement. We have city police, county sheriffs, and highway patrol. We used to even have the state police, which was another separate agency, but they have blended with the highway patrol. Under Jefferson, they would be combined at the county level.
And I know in Oregon, the Oregon State Troopers take care of the law enforcement on the highways as well as the fish and game violations, though they are the game wardens up in Oregon.
Yeah, the town that I came from in Southern California was three, they were unincorporated areas that eventually joined into Rancho Cucamonga. And rather than form a police department in Rancho Cucamonga, they contracted with San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office to provide law enforcement, which was a smart move. Then they didn't have to come up with yet another layer of law enforcement for county to pay for.
How about after we come back from the break, have you addressed baseline budgeting by any chance? That's one of the things that drives me nuts. Maybe we can get into that a little bit.
All right. I'm not real sharp on that one, but we can talk about
it. We will talk about it. So I think we'll go to our break. This is a hard break, so we'll come back after the top of the hour.
Average Joe, average pay, same old end, same old day. But there's nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer, kind of glue that sticks this world together, and the steel and cradle of the promised land. God bless the working man. Long making a living, life keeps taking, he keeps giving, behind the scene, below the grade, I hardly noticed, but part of everything. But there's nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer, kind of glue that sticks this world together, hands of steel and cradle of the promised land. God bless the working man.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Hey, this is Kenny Breedlove at Market Street Steakhouse. On behalf of Wes and I want to personally thank all the first responders, including fire, police, and medical. All of us at Market Street Steakhouse appreciate all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Questions of a payment by President Trump's lawyer to an adult film actress had nothing to do with the presidential campaign. So says Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway.
This was a private matter, had nothing to do with campaign funds, that there is an NDA in full force and effect. He believes that Ms. Daniels and her lawyer have violated. That may go to arbitration. He also repeats that this is a false claim. And he also says that Michael Cohen had basically discretion authority to use funds that had nothing to do with the campaign.
She was a guest on CBS TV's Face the Nation program this morning. The number of homes destroyed by lava shooting out of cracks in the earth caused by Hawaii's Kilauea volcano has climbed 5, and some of the more than 1,700 people who evacuated are prepared for the possibility they're not going home anytime soon. The Hawaiian Volcanoes Observatory says 8 volcanic vents opened since Thursday, and the worst is probably not over. The president's nominee to head the CIA has reportedly launched a behind-the-scenes effort to soften her image ahead of what could be contentious confirmation hearings.
In private meetings with members of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Gina Haspel is reportedly saying she would fight any effort to revive the brutal detention and interrogation program launched after the 9/11 terror attacks. That appears to put her at odds with the president, who campaigned by promising to authorize waterboarding and, in his words, a lot worse in a crackdown on extremists.
Correspondent Wally Hines. Connecticut lawmakers have voted to join a group of states that want to pool their electoral college votes for the presidential candidate who wins the popular vote next time. The Senate voted on Saturday in favor of entering the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. The bill now goes to the governor, who is likely to sign it. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Visit ndrnow.com. That's ndrnow.com. Go now to ndrnow.com. ndrnow.com.
The Centers for Disease Control says that diseases carried by insects are on the rise in the U.S. We get more from Dr. Charles Schneiderman.
CDC says that cases of infections vectored by ticks, mosquitoes, and fleas have more than tripled in the U.S. since 2004. Avoiding standing water around homes and using flea collars on pets are first line of defense. Personal protection includes wearing DEET-containing insect repellents and long-sleeve, light-color, loose-fitting clothing. Frequent skin and hair inspections can spot the little critters before they attack. This is Dr. Charles Snyder reporting from the swamps of Washington.
A federal appeals court has set to hear arguments in a lawsuit filed by the families of 78 men who died in a West Virginia mine disaster in 1968. The families are asking the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to reinstate their 2014 lawsuit. A federal judge ruled last year that the suit was filed too late. The mining company agrees. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. They can't bake a souffle or fold a burrito yet, but robots are on the job at a brand new fast casual eatery in Boston.
Seven autonomously swirling cooking pots work behind the counter at the place called Spice. You push a touchscreen menu to buy a meal called Hearth. A blend of Brussels sprouts, quinoa, kale, and sweet potatoes tumbles from hoppers and into one of the pots. The pot heats the food using magnetic induction, then tips the cooked meal into a bowl. A sign of things to come? Well, experts say food prep jobs are ripe for automation. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is May the 6th, and it's a birthday for some famous people, including Baseball Hall of Famer Willie Mays. He's 87 years old today. Senator Richard Shelby, the Republican of Alabama, 84. Rock singer Bob Seger is 73. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, 65. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I'm Senator's Congressman B.T. the Call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times they are changing.
Nobel, Nobel, Nobel. That was a Nobel laureate there we just heard. So. We were talking about baseline budgeting and the finances, so Janet and I had a little discussions off the air there, and it sounds like Steve Baird is the one we need to really get into this. He is our financial expert. He was on KHI Radio last week and did a great refresher course, and we should probably have him on Jefferson State of Mind here in the very near future, because he is our financial expert. That is one of the questions we get a lot with Jefferson, is the finances and how are you going to survive and how will you make it. And that's a really hard one to answer, because quite frankly, you can tell people, listen, we've done the work, we are viable, the counties are in the black, there's a few in the red, there's enough left over to pay for the other counties. When those people with questions have been told it's not viable, and then I'm telling them that it is viable, and the way they can check it is the SOJ51.org, 9 times out of 10, they don't take the time to do that. So it's kind of hard to handle that drastic of a subject in just a few moments or whatever. So usually how I end up addressing that is I say, well, tell me this, are you overtaxed? And pretty much all of them say yes. And is your tax dollar spent wisely by your government? And they all say no. And there's your answer for you. So, but baseline budgeting, I mean, something that drives me crazy, I would love to see go away. What that is, and pretty much all counties, cities, states, federal government, they pretty much all do it. And you get a base for your budget and every year. And if you don't spend it, you don't get it the next year. If you don't spend it, you don't have to hold it over for something that you want to save. Like, for instance, I don't know, a jail maybe. You don't get to save the money. You get your budget the next year. The budget goes up with inflation. You get an extra percentage, a couple percentages every single year. It drives me up a wall, because none of us could survive with that kind of budgeting in our life. If you're out there and you're making 40 grand a year, and at the end of the year you had 2,000 left over, and you said, well, we better go blow this, or we're not going to get it next year. I mean, how many people would be able to survive? So that's where we are with government. I'm hoping that we address that with Jefferson, and maybe Steve Baird is the guy to do that, but that's something I would definitely like to change. There's no sharing that budget within, different departments. So if there's money left over in the fire department, they can't donate that towards a new jail. If there's money left over in, the Air Resource Board, they can't donate that money to a new jail, because that's a different budget. So it's a way government spends money, and it makes absolutely no sense, and I'm hoping that Jefferson will be able to address that. So in the meantime, it looks like we have Jimmy on the phone. Jimmy, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Kelstrom. How are you doing?
What's going on, Jimmy?
Oh, just enjoying the show, as usual. I'm just calling in because I got a paper that I got at the beginning of the year talking about all these laws that California has passed and or proposed that are just completely silly, and it's, wow. One of them is free legal services for illegal immigrants. Another one, established safe injection zones run by the government to oversee people injecting heroin in that past. Give preferential treatment to prisoners convicted of serious crimes that are less than 25 years old because their brains are not mature enough to understand right from wrong. Yeah, and if that's the fact, why do we let people at the age of 18 to vote or join the military?
They want to change that to 16 to vote, by the way.
Oh.
I'm in favor of changing the voting age, only I think it should be 25.
Well, you know, if they're going to do that, you know. And here's another one, a $3.46 billion park bonds to pay for parks in disadvantaged communities, mostly Los Angeles, and the debt service will be over $200 million a year. Let me see. Oh, yeah, here's another one. This is a Jim Dandy. A law to release any lifer, including murderers, rapists, child molesters, who is 60 years old and has already spent 25 years in prison, which means Charles Manson would have been qualified today to be released. A new $10 charge on all residents living in mobile home parks to address living conditions, because, you know, people living in mobile home parks can afford an extra 10 bucks, right? Tesla must either unionize with the United Auto Workers Union or forfeit state incentives to buy their electric cars. Now, does that sound like a union grab to you?
And they can't figure out why Tesla decided to start making their batteries in Nevada.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let me see. Give preferential, oh, I already read that one. Oh, and then the make it a felony to a misdemeanor to somebody that transmits AIDS to an unknowing partner. And then one more. Now, you guys talked about these silly laws that they waste their time writing and passing, such as the bag law. Well, did you know that Jerry Brown signed into law an official dinosaur for California?
Yeah, I actually posted online today that it should be called the Jobosaurus because the jobs are now extinct. So.
Yeah. Okay, and yeah, I mean, come on. You're going to waste your time writing or, you know, passing a bill about a state dinosaur when you could be doing so much other good stuff. So anyways, one more thing real quick. Another thing that drives me absolutely nuts, which you touched on in the show earlier, is the misnomers about the state of Jefferson and why it won't work, such as the water, which is, I hear it all the time. Oh, dude, they're not going to let you do that because they don't want to, you know, they want to keep their water. Well, no, it's the Bureau of Reclamation. The federal government owns the water or, you know, regulates it.
Right.
Now, another misnomer that drives me nuts is when people say, and I hear this all the time, oh, there's not enough people in the proposed state of Jefferson to make a state. So unlike most people, I spent 15 minutes and researched it and did the math, and out of all the counties in the state of Jefferson, which include Del Norte, Siskiyou, Modoc, Trinity, Humboldt, Shasta, Lassen, Butte, Colusa, Lake, Glen, Tuolumne, Calaveras, Amador, El Dorado, Mendocino, Plumas, Sutter, Yuba, Nevada, Placer, Sierra, and Tehama counties, there are 1,916,759 people.
And that's not counting Stanislaus and Mariposa that just came on last week either, is it?
No, I did not know that.
Yep. So it's even more than that.
Okay, well, that's even better because I looked up the populations of states, and we would be 36, according to my calculations. Now, West Virginia would have less people, Idaho, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island, Montana, Delaware, South Dakota, North Dakota, Alaska, Washington, D.C., Vermont, and Wyoming. And Wyoming only has a quarter of the population at 563,769
Well, then, 767.
How can they survive, Jimmy? Because that doesn't make sense. They can't possibly survive. Has anybody told Wyoming that they should be out of business at this point?
Oh, you mean that state that never goes into the red?
Yeah, the one that has a part-time state legislature. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that their land mass is 97,914 square miles, which is bigger than the proposed state of Jefferson.
Oh, so they're even less viable than us. It would even be harder. So someone should probably call them and let them know that they can't survive without California's money.
Yeah. So anyways, I love your guys' show. I just thought I'd throw those numbers out. And so people out there, if somebody says, hey, there's not enough people, then you can tell them that there is. We'd be 36 on the state population.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Jimmy, and I appreciate the math, but tell us what do you envision Jefferson like? You're a contractor builder guy. What do you envision this like? What would you like to see here?
Where do I start? You got another hour?
Sure.
The main thing is the taxes and the money that is squandered and wasted and funneled to and lining people's pockets, and the special interests that goes on here, or in California, that is, to be just obliterated. Because I know, talking to the people, such as yourselves, who are spearheading this movement, that is going to go away, especially the monetary waste that goes on in California. Number two is, yes, the people in California that should be in handcuffs are just getting away with it blatantly, you know, like hiring illegal immigrants to work with the state Senate. You know, it's ridiculous.
Do you think if we didn't have any big pharma dollars being spread around by lobbyists that we'd have forced vaccinations in California?
No. No.
Yeah. Do you think if you took the lobbyists' money, or let's just put it this way, if we had a part-time legislature like Jefferson envisions, and those legislatures were down to one law a year that they could pass, and that law would have to be constitutional, do you think the lobbyists would not waste their time with one guy that could write one law or one bill? I mean, would it be worth their while, or would they just go ahead and stay back in California and try to manipulate
that? And it's like one of your callers earlier was talking about having to put gravel on his driveway.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you have to get a permit to do that. Well, let me tell you, folks, one of the businesses in Reading, and I'm not going to name the name, they're a very well-established business here, wanted to increase the size of their parking lot. And they bought the lot next door, tore down a building, and paved it. Well, they wanted to paint parking stripes in their driveway or their parking lot. Well, the city came in and said, well, if you do that, you're going to need a permit, and you're going to have to put overhead lighting, and you're going to have to plant trees in your parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of erosion. It's like, what?
And in Jefferson, we will have property rights, and that'll be your property. Do whatever the heck you want with it.
Right. I mean, you know, there should be some, you know, oversight. I don't want to say oversight, but I mean, you know, it's just blown so far out of control. It's crazy.
Yeah, and
I do believe that what you guys are saying about if you build a building, you can get together with your insurance company and that they could iron it out.
Right. You know? I mean, the insurance company is going to say, hey, if you put in fire sprinklers, we're going to lower your payments this much. If you, put a metal roof on it rather than an old split shake roof on there, we're going to lower your payments this much. If you cut some of those trees around there that are, you know, dropping leaves and possible limbs on top of the roof, we're going to lower your payments this much. I mean, you don't need a government agency in between the two of them. The insurance company is going to take a look at your house and go, listen, dude, you know, you need to bring that up to our specifications or your insurance rates are going to go through the roof.
Here, right.
You know, simple.
And the other thing about the state of Jefferson, and I'm going to get off the phone here pretty quick, is that I do construction all over the state of California. I do apartment buildings, and I see so many illegal immigrants, whatever you want to call them, working these jobs that it's insane. And they'll tell you, yeah, I'm here illegally, because they know that nothing's going to happen. And, you know, people always go, oh, they do the jobs that, you know, American workers don't want to do. Well, that's not true, because there's a lot of American workers that would love to have that job, because some of these jobs are prevailing wage jobs. You know, so I would like to see the state of Jefferson, you know, get that under control.
Yep. Yeah, well.
So anyways, guys, thanks for listening to my rant.
All right, Jimmy, thanks for the phone call.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. Well, with that, we can get back to some property rights, I guess, because he brings up some good points. And, you know, he's talking about the parking lot. I mean, you know, again, we're still in that cage of government regulation. Well, there should be some rules. There should be some oversight. Why? If you want to build a parking lot, and why do you need to get the government's permission or the government's specifications? If you make your parking spaces too narrow and all your customers are dinging their doors on each other, they're probably going to stop shopping at your business or complain enough or ask you to fix their doors so that, hey, maybe next time you'll make the parking spaces a little wider. I mean, a lot of these things iron themselves out. It's real simple. A guy's in to do business, he's going to maximize his business. That's why, you know, a lot of business owners don't endorse a candidate, because they're going to make half of their constituents or their customers mad. They don't, you know, take a political leaning one way or the other, because they're going to make half their customers mad. I mean, business owners know what's best for business owners.
And this brings up the issue of access for disabled people. My father was in a wheelchair for many years, and access could be difficult, and it was a problem that we had to work around. And so I have great sympathy for people who are in wheelchairs or crutches or devices that limit their access. But to require a business to provide that access by law goes totally against private property rights. If you want to limit your customer base by not providing access, that's your business. That's the decision that you make. It's not up to the government to tell you that you have to have a sink that's so high off the ground and we will fine you if you don't. Makes no sense for a state in which private property rights are going to prevail.
And I always point out my own condition in these types of situations. As being 6'9" and well over 300 pounds, I don't fit in a lot of things. I don't fit in subcompact cars. I don't fit in airplane seats. I have to duck my head in a residential doorway. A lot of ceiling fans are way too low. Showers are not installed high enough. I have a lot of problems. I cannot go to Walmart and buy a pair of shoes. In fact, I cannot even order a pair of shoes through Walmart because they do not carry size 15. I have to order all my pants online, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. You know what? That's my problem. I'm different from everybody else. I do not go down and sue Walmart and say, hey, you don't carry size 15 shoes. You're discriminating against me. I don't go to the airlines and say, hey, you have to make a seat big enough for me to fit in because I'm a one in a million person and you need to make everything fit me. No, it's something I have to deal with. And, you know, again, the handicapped one is a perfect example. Smokers are another perfect example. I don't smoke. I don't like cigarette smoke. I don't like to be around it. But you know what? If a bar wants to serve people who smoke, it'll work itself out. Either people will go there so they can smoke and have a drink, or people won't go there because they don't want to be around smoke. It's real simple. Wind River, I give them props for doing that. Wind River said, we're going to make our casino a smoke-free environment. Oh, boy, there were so many people up here that were just so tickled to death. People, I mean, in the media and in the county or in the, you know, higher-up positions in Reading City Council, whatnot. And they were applauded for their efforts. Well, guess what? Their business went down the tubes. There was a lot of people that just stopped going there. So as they were losing business, they backed off on that plan. Now, if I ever go to Wind River, I will go to the non-smoking area. But that's my choice. And you know, I hate seeing people's rights taken away from them because they happen to be in the minority or their rights are not what somebody else agrees with. So their rights are taken away. I get so tired of seeing that.
I don't want government to be in the position of picking winners and losers.
Absolutely.
It's not up to them. It's up to the free marketplace.
Speaking of winners and losers, we have Nick on the line again. I'm not going to say which one you are, Nick. Are you there?
I'm here. Hey, thanks for bringing that up.
We know you're a winner.
You know, when it comes to property rights, I believe in the individual right for property, but I do believe in the individual right to be protected, for instance. I wouldn't want a rendering plant moving in next door to me just because the guy owns the lot, you know, or a sand and gravel moving in next to a subdivision that's going to have dust all day, every day. and noise like that, there's got to be a little bit of regulation.
Well, and I think that comes with the permitting process. So those the ones you mentioned have to get a permit or have to have you know, have to get the rights to go there if you are already there. Now, the other side of that coin is one of my first jobs, high school jobs, was at the Running Gun Club, which used to be right over here off Buena Ventura, Placer Street at the time.
You know, that's another thing. I think we ought to have the right to shoot somebody that's breaking in our car.
Well, I think you would. But the Running Gun Club is a perfect example. The gun club was there. It was there before the houses. The houses started building houses next
Absolutely.
To the gun club.
I mean, I'm not talking about that.
I understand.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Same with moving in underneath the runway of an airport. Well, don't move there.
Exactly.
If you don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if
but,
you are
already... getting to your smoking. You know, they're putting in a new casino down here next to Bocelli Lane, next to I-5. I heard they're going to have a marijuana smoking room, and you can go down there and get high for free and gamble at the same time.
Well, are you going to go?
I might have made that up. No, I don't use marijuana.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. I told Terry the other day I spent a lot of money on beer and women, and I pretty much wasted the rest, but I don't use marijuana.
Yeah, well, and there you go. There's your choice. I mean, that's, again, that's the whole point of the thing. I know you made that up, but there's a perfect example. I mean, if they wanted to put in a marijuana smoking room and it's legal, why not? If it's worth their time and worth their business and they gain business, so be it. Do it. I'm not going to go in there. You're not going to go in there. But
I'm with you. I used to smoke, and I quit smoking, and I avoid places that smoke anymore.
Right.
But it is their right. I can agree with that, Chris. But yeah. I just think there's got to be a little bit of limitation somewhere.
Well, and I think that would be in the zoning process. I think that would be in the business permit, you know, type of deal. Because you're right. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about eminent domain?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because that was next on my list.
Okay. Well, let me give you this one I was thinking about. You know, Stillwater Business Park, I'm pretty sure they took that property away from the Sanders family using eminent domain to build their industrial park?
Yep.
Okay, so now their industrial park's belly up. Shouldn't the Sanders family get it back, get the opportunity to buy it back for the same price?
Do you know that in Jefferson we discussed this and we came up with that solution exactly?
Did you really?
Yes.
It just came to me this morning I thought of it.
Yes, we did. In fact, it went back to Kelo, who sued the state of New Jersey, I think it was. They wanted to take property away from a bunch of homeowners and give it to a private corporation to build some kind of facility.
I remember that, yes.
And the Supreme Court actually went along with it and said, yes, the state can do that. So,
yeah, but this is the state, in this case the city, buying it, improving it, and selling it themselves to make them a profit.
Yeah, and then...
in competition against private entities.
And then they gave this land to the private corporation, and the private corporation eventually decided not to do anything. So this land is now sitting there vacant. And we in the Jefferson Constitution Committee thought that was horrible. So we have in the Constitution proposed that... If something is eminent domained away from property owners, and it can only be for public purposes, not to go to another private individual or corporation, if it is taken away and is not used for its express purpose, it will go back to the property owner.
I think that would just be icing on the cake to get that back to them.
Yeah, with some financial incentive also.
And remember, it's not just eminent domain how you take somebody's property. Ask the Bundys and ask the Hammonds about eminent domain. It's not eminent domain that's trying to kick them off their ranches. It's the federal government and bureaucracies that are trying to take their land without using eminent domain. So.
Hey, I've got to encourage everybody to get Range Magazine if
Absolutely.
You want to see how.
Excellent.
It just goes on and on and on about property rights that are violated.
Yep. Yeah, it's an excellent magazine, absolutely excellent. My father-in-law just got me a subscription, and I can't thank him enough because that is the best magazine being printed right now.
Yep.
Oh, I read it to cover, and I'll set it down for 6 or 8 months and pick it back up, and it's like a brand-new magazine.
Yep.
Let me plug a book right here, and then I'm going to get off.
Okay.
The Scandalous Presidency of Barack Obama. It names all his scandals. It has a chapter on each scandal, and each chapter is 3 to 6 pages long. And there's a couple scandals in there I hadn't even heard of. It describes them. It describes his role in them, how they're illegal. It's just a wonderful book. It'll something you'll want to keep in your personal library if you have one.
Is it in the fiction section? Because I saw a meme that he had no scandals at all in his presidency.
Yeah, that's what he claims.
Yeah.
Well, he said a lot of things that might not necessarily be so.
Nick, who is the author?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I got it right here in front of me. His name is Matt Margolis. Matt Margolis. He wrote another book, something about the worst presidency ever, not too long ago. This book came out here just this year.
Nice.
That sounds like a good one.
Oh, it is. It's a wonderful book. I've got about four of these books. One's Fast and Furious by Katie What's-Her-Face, and Clinton Cash, and Secret Empires. I have put away, and hopefully my son will read them in about 30 years, you know, when he gets interested in politics, and he'll be able to look back and see really what went on.
A warning for the future from the past.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, because his kids certainly won't be learning about it in school.
They will in Jefferson.
I still believe that President Trump, if they're not going to prosecute Hillary and some of those characters, that he needs to issue them a pardon so it goes down in history that they did do something that was perhaps illegal.
Yeah, I think they're going to be before a military tribunal personally. But
oh, God, I hope so. Yeah. I hope and pray. Hey, have a great day.
All right, Nick, you too. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side. So, again, you got questions, comments, what you envision Jefferson to be, give us a call.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
For some, yard work isn't a chore. It's a passion. If you're someone who loves being outside and takes pride in your lawn, then you need the Honda HRX, one of the most technologically advanced walk-behind mowers on the planet. The HRX features the VersaMow system, a unique 4-in-1 system that lets you bag, mulch, discharge, or shred leaves with no attachments. Then there's Honda's exclusive MicroCut twin-blade cutting system, which gives you finer clippings for more bagging capacity, or when mulching, finer clippings that actually help feed your lawn. Plus, the HRX's handle and controls are ergonomically designed to be comfortable on your hands. A limited lifetime warranty on the NexSight deck and an impressive 5-year limited warranty on the mower make the HRX one of the best values anywhere. To learn more, just visit Honda.com. Better yet, come see the Honda HRX at Lee's Honda, 2230 Larkspur Lane in Reading. Serving the North State from the same location since 1967, online at Lee'sHonda.com.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Hey, this is Kenny Breedlove at Market Street Steakhouse. On behalf of Wes and I want to personally thank all the first responders, including fire, police, and medical. All of us at Market Street Steakhouse appreciate all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say,
right.
You gotta
stand for something. There's somebody that should have been a Nobel laureate, in my opinion. Okay, Jenna, what were we talking about before we left?
Well, we were talking about eminent domain, but I want to get to a very contentious issue that we had a lot of arguments about with the Constitution Committee, and that is Second Amendment rights. Now, nobody disagreed that we have Second Amendment gun rights, and the Constitution is quite clear. And it talks about a militia. But to the Founding Fathers, a militia just meant everybody who was ready, willing, and able to stand up, grab a gun, and go fight whoever is coming to
an invading
hurt you.
Force.
Yeah. And in the case of our revolution, it was the British, but somewhat of a misnomer because at the time we were all British. Those people that we consider to be our founding fathers, they were British, so they referred to the other side as the Redcoats. They were the King's Army. So we don't have a Second Amendment so we can go out and target shoot or so we can hunt. We have it to protect ourselves from invaders, from people within our own country, from our government.
From enemies foreign and domestic. And domestic means people that are here that are trying to take away our rights
and,
or trying to put us under tyranny.
And right now we have legislators who are saying, well, it isn't that I want to take away your gun rights, but I want to take away your gun rights. They're trying to fool you. We have people saying, well, there should be limits. We can't deny that it should be regulated. In the Second Amendment, it does say a well-regulated militia, but that regulated means, go back to the 1828 dictionary, it means well-trained. And, of course, anybody who's going to have a gun should be trained in how to use that gun. So we have the right to defense, to protect ourselves, and that shall not be infringed. And it angers me every time a sheriff stands up and says, well, I give out a lot of CCW permits. Well, we all have a CCW permit. It's called the Second Amendment. It says right there that I have the right to carry a gun. And even the Supreme Court has said, well, yes, but that doesn't mean you can carry a concealed gun. Really? I don't know what infringed means to the Supreme Court. So we had a lot of discussions in our Constitution Committee. And there are some questions that need to be considered. Is there an age limit? Is there a restriction for being a certain age for owning or carrying a gun? And I'm not giving answers here. I'm asking the questions that will have to be decided by the people of Jefferson. Can you be 12 years old and own a 22? Do you have to be 21 before you can? What's the definition of arms? Now, the Constitution just says the right to keep and bear arms. Well, what did arms mean in 1781? It meant anything that the Redcoats had. Cannons. It meant whatever you needed to fight off an invading force or a domestic enemy. So, does that mean that in Jefferson you have the right to have a tank, a nuclear bomb, a 50 caliber machine gun? And if you say no, then where do you get the authority for saying no? Convicted felons. Obviously, when you are in prison, you are not going to have the right to carry a gun. You've lost that right because you committed a crime and you went through due process, and the state has the right to take away your liberties when you violate the law. But once you are out, once you are no longer on parole or probation, is there any reason, when you have paid your debt to society, not to have your rights given back to you? And that includes the right to keep and bear arms, the right to vote. Now, obviously, if you are still considered a danger, you shouldn't have a gun. But if you are still considered a danger, why would you have been released? So these are all questions that we had concerning the Second Amendment, even though none of us had any argument about whether or not we had the right to have guns.
Lots to think about there, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole lot to think about. I am a definite huge pro-Second Amendment rights guy, but you know, you have to contemplate those questions. Those are some great questions. Do I think people should have a nuclear weapon? Well, no, but I do think they should have an AR-15, and that's the same exact argument that's being used against the Second Amendment right now is, well, you shouldn't have these arms of military, whatever, advancement, okay? Well, if you say, well, an AR-15 is not a military rifle, or I should have the right, or just because it looks scary, this and that. Well, are you going to go further down the road and say, well, I should have the right to an atomic bomb? I don't know. It doesn't seem to make sense, but that's a good question, and where do you draw the line? So these are things that, you know, there's a lot of questions in this Constitution that need to be addressed, and if you can't have an atomic weapon, why not? If you can't have a tank, why not?
And they always say, well, the founding fathers and the people in the Revolution, all they had was muskets, so you should just be able to have a musket now. No, they had the primo military weapon of their time.
And the same people say, well, they have the freedom of speech to post whatever they want on the Internet. Well, really? Because all you had back then was some, you know, papyrus paper and a printing press somewhere. So I guess you have the freedom of speech to say whatever you want with a quill pen and ink. But otherwise, you don't have the right to say what you want on television or TV or, radio or Internet. Or do you? Because has it evolved? And the freedom of speech now is all kinds of speech, even the ones that have evolved into things that we didn't have back then. Well, the right to bear arms has evolved, too. So,
and we think about England, where they do not have a Bill of Rights, and they do not have specifically that they have the right to self-defense. They're actually proposing that they regulate knives, because they have so many knife attacks now in London. It can get ridiculous, and I am so thankful that we have our Bill of Rights that actually says what we have the right to do. And it very clearly says, I have the right to defend myself, my life, my liberty, and my property.
And how can you eat a boiled kidney in England without a knife? But anyhow, we have Jimmy on the phone.
Who wants to have a boiled kidney, too?
Jimmy, are you there?
Hey, guys, sorry to call back again.
No, that's quite all right.
Well, I was just thinking about the building code thing you guys were talking about, and the one thing I do think that when the state of Jefferson happens is they should have some sort of building code or inspectors, only because if somebody hires a contractor to, say, put an addition onto their house, that I think that there should be an inspection to make sure that that contractor did a good job, because I've seen a lot of very shoddy work. So that's the only thing I think, as far as codes go, I think that should be enforced. What do you think?
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you there, Jimmy, but let me ask you this. Would it work itself out in the same way that if they did an addition on a house and it was shoddy, and, for instance, maybe, I don't know, you had a fire in there or something, and that burned down, and the insurance company came in and said, hey, you didn't get this addition approved, and we didn't inspect this addition, so we're not going to pay for this. In order for you to get your property insured through us, you have to let us notify us of additions, and we have to inspect them. Would that also kind of work its way out itself there?
Oh, yes. Now, if if the insurance company had an inspector to come out and look at it, yes, that would be absolutely pristine. That would work.
Yeah, we're not against inspections and quality work. We're just saying that the government should not be the intermediary.
Right. If the insurance company had an inspector and you wanted it insured, absolutely. I think that would work. It's just, I've seen a lot of people getting taken advantage of because they don't really know, what quality. I mean, once you put sheetrock and paint up, you can't tell.
Right. And now, with that being said, you've seen that shoddy workmanship with laws in place that the government is supposed to inspect it.
Yeah, I've had a house that was inspected by the government, and every time I walked by the grandfather clock, the floor was so loose that the grandfather clock stopped.
Okay.
That was inspected. Yeah.
Okay. But as far as the insurance company doing it, I just think that there should be somebody to protect people that are, that would be taken advantage of, that's all.
Right.
And again, in Jefferson, it's going to be individual responsibility. If you want a house that is quality, it's up to you to make sure that it happens. It's not up to the government.
I understand. And getting back on track with the Second Amendment, one thing real quick, when I was 12, 13 years old, I used to walk around Palisado, like down old 44, with a .22 Ruger semi-automatic with a 30-round banana clip. And you know what people would do when they drive by? They
wave. Yeah.
So, anyways, folks, I'll let you go, and I'll listen to the rest of the show.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So, yeah, it's something that's kind of hard because we are in that cage where we do think the government does a lot of things that are good for us. But if you really get out of that cage and look at things, I mean, and Jimmy's, perfect example there. And that was, that was some great ideas because, you don't want, everybody just willy-nilly going out there and tacking up a couple of pieces of plywood and calling it a house. And, but there's enough private sector areas that will you know, look at that. I mean, when we sold our house before we moved back up here, you know, the new owner, prospective buyers, had a, an inspector come through and inspected the entire house before they would buy the house. I mean, that's just common, normal thing. We didn't need a government agency come and inspect the house. We needed the new owners to be protected, and had that inspector come in before they bought the house and found that I did a shoddy addition onto the back of it, they might say, you know, I don't think you want to buy this house, or you're going to tear this addition off and rebuild it or have it rebuilt or whatever. But it would have been inspected without the government ever being involved in any of it.
And interestingly, we've looked at property in Hawaii, and there will be, say, an addition on the house, and they'll say unpermitted or permitted. So you know it didn't get a permit. You've kind of taken your chances on whether or not it was done right.
Yep.
But it's up to you. Buyer beware, individual responsibility. We had a caller come talk about some of the things that are going to be on the ballot, and one of them was a bond issue. Frankly, I think anybody in California who votes for a bond issue at this point needs to have his head examined. There is absolutely no bond issue that I will vote for. The state has no money. But we had a question when we were doing the Constitution. If there is a bond issue, and this would be particularly a local bond issue, and it's going to involve using private property as collateral, such as a school bond issue or something like that, should it be limited to property owners to vote on that bond issue? Or should it be anybody who gets to vote, yeah, he needs to pay more money?
Well, yeah, and I think most bond issues are voted on by the people that are affected, I believe. I could be wrong, but
I don't know.
I know that we just had a bond issue in Cottonwood here a year or two ago, and it was only Cottonwood residents that voted on it. It was for a new firehouse, and it passed, which most bond issues don't, but it passed, and they're building a new firehouse now. But, you know, usually when something that happens, it is the landowners or the homeowners that are affected by that that have to vote for that bond. But, you know, again, it gets back to me. Yeah, I think I pay plenty of taxes. Why am I voting for a bond to pay more? How about you start spending my taxes more wisely?
Well, after the state pulled a scam on us with that water issue, and they were supposed to spend money on dams and water storage, and they didn't. And so we have billions and billions of dollars that is not being spent on what it was supposed to be spent for.
Yep, and the new gas tax that doesn't go to the roads, it goes
exactly
to the high-speed bullet train.
Yeah.
So,
and that one legislator just now said, well, we have plenty of money to pay for the roads. We don't need that gas tax.
Yeah. So we got Gary Hollihan on the line. Speaking of high-speed bullet trains, I know Gary's a big fan. So, Gary, are you there?
Yes. Toot, toot. And all that stuff. I think you've probably covered what I'm about to say, but I'll reiterate it. A close neighbor is having a home built out of state. Imagine your surprise. And in his contract that he just signed is an independent inspector that he will choose and he will pay for. And if it doesn't pass inspection, the home contract is null and void. Now, do you think that contractor is going to be careful about what he's doing?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it should work.
Yep.
Right. And, yes, and as you mentioned, insurance companies could have their own or whatever, but the idea is no bureaucracy like we have here, because county and city inspection here, I'm sure there are 100 of horror stories out there that could call in, because the city and county inspectors here is no guarantee that your construction will be done right and is ready to move in.
Yeah, not only that, they changed some of the rules right in the middle of things. I mean, you know, one of my good friends that's a ex-politician has told me some horror stories about right down here in River City where, you know, people got the permission from the government to get the permits to do exactly what they were supposed to do. And once they started the construction, it was like, oh, we made a mistake. There's an easement there, and you need to move that property. Well, we can't move the property. It's a cement foundation, and we built it exactly where you told us to. Yeah, but we missed the easement, so you're going to have to move the property or stop the thing. You know, and I mean, it's like, are you kidding me?
And then you have no recourse. You have no way to sue the city.
Yeah.
I know of a business in Reading a long time, etc., new construction, etc., and they kept moving the goalpost. And, of course, yep. there were $1 million into their new construction, and what could they do but play the silly city games?
And, again, well, that's...
Okay, I've bantered enough. A great program, and I like your flavor of your program, which is ownership and people calling in. This is what Jefferson will look like. I think lots of times, and this is no negative on Mark at all, but people don't understand, or it rolls off their brain, if they have one, about what's happening in court, etc. But what you presented today, it's just fantastic and well presented. This is what Jefferson will mean to you, or it can mean you need to be involved, and that's where we are. So a great program. Again, thank you very much. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Thanks for the
Gary.
Call.
It is a group effort. You know, I say it takes a village. Well, it takes 23 counties and all the people in it.
Yep. And we have got some great people. Boy, we've got some great people in those counties. So lots of things going on. Two more counties came on board. So Mariposa, Stanislaus, welcome. We're glad to have you. And, yeah, we're up to 23 counties now. So Jimmy did the math. I can't remember what his numbers were, but, you know, the math was already outdated because a week after he did the math, we got more counties in there. So,
and if I remember correctly, Mark Baird said that we needed 9 to make it viable. Well, we got it.
And it's funny. I'll need to get those numbers from you, Jimmy. I know you're still listening, so I don't want to do all the work you did by myself. So if you give me those numbers, I want to take a look at those, because I know at one point Mark was talking about 3% of the population. Well, I have a feeling we're up a little higher than that now. I think we're, I'm sure we're at 4 or 5%. So we'll take a look at those numbers and see what they are, because I bet you we're at a much higher percentage than we were. And, that was one great thing. I remember a town hall, and there was a distractor there, and he brought up to Mark Baird. At the time, we only had, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 counties signed, and Mark had been using the figure 3% of the population. Well, this guy did the math, like Jimmy did, except this was way back when we only had 3 or 4 counties signed, and was basically calling Mark a liar because he did the math. We were nowhere near 3% of the population, and I remember he was rather rude about it and was rather... did the old talking points thing where you wouldn't listen to reason, you wouldn't listen to an argument, you just kept repeating your talking points over and over again, as Mark was trying to explain to him that he bases 3% on what he thought we would have at 9 or 10 or 11 counties. And at one point, the crowd started getting kind of irritated with the guy, and there was some boos and hisses, and I'll never forget, because it was just the greatest moment to me. Mark said, "Hey, stop. Let him talk." And then he finally said, "Listen, sir, even though I disagree with what you said, I will fight for the death for you, for your right to say that." And I thought, wow, he turned that whole thing around. You know, the guy was left speechless because, you know, you can no longer yell your talking point out with a retort like that. So I'll never forget that. And that was great. And, you know, that's why we don't mind distractors. We don't mind people. You know, we don't want to argue with people. We want to explain things to people. And if they want to argue, well, we might not be able to explain it to them. If that's all they want to do is argue, but, you know, just keep trying, give them the best. They have the right to say whatever they want. They have a right to be a distractor too. So we just want to keep spreading the word, spreading the truth, and getting our word out there. So,
and nothing makes you more able to defend your position than having someone attack it. So you either figure out how to defend it or you change your mind. And I've been on both sides of that with this Constitution writing. I want to emphasize again, individual responsibility, and a couple of points that illustrate that. You absolutely do have the right to yell fire in a crowded theater. That is protected speech under the First Amendment. However, you are also responsible and accountable for any harm that is caused when you yelled fire. Another one. Where does it say you can't commit murder? Only in the Ten Commandments. There is no law in California or the federal government that says you can't kill someone. However, if you do, the penal code gives the penalty for doing it. It's your responsibility. You are accountable. The law can't cover everything. It's up to you to make your own decisions and to pay the price for those decisions.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the fire in a crowded theater, because I was at a Cinco de Mayo party last night with my neighbors, great people. Shout out to Doug and shout out to Andrew and Mike. But anyhow, that subject came up, and that was exactly their take on it, too. And, you know, we were talking about that, and I said, you know, it's similar to burning the flag. It says the First Amendment protects you under freedom of speech to burn the American flag. And, you know, I will say, yeah, I guess you have the right to burn the American flag, but I have the right to be so offended by that that I may, you know, cross the line into somewhere I don't have the right, but I have the right to be so offended by that that I can take that away from you or pummel you if I need to, whatever the case may be. So, you know, remember, you have the rights to do a lot of things, but when those rights step on other people's rights, well, they have the right to react to that also. So,
and you have to be responsible for what you've done.
Yep. So when you yell fire in a crowded theater and there's no fire, you know, be prepared to need a fire truck to take you to the hospital. So, well, Janet, I think we did it. We almost made 3 hours. So
we have done it.
We
yeah.
have. So, you know, some more things in Jefferson, what we foresee. You know, one of the things I foresee is as a hunter, I used to be an avid hunter anymore. It's not worth my while. It's harder for me to get excited about going out hunting anymore because there's no deer because there's too many mountain lions because California's stopped the mountain lion hunting. There's no more pheasants in this area because California stopped trapping. And when they stopped trapping, there was an overabundance of animals that preyed on pheasants such as foxes and coyotes and bobcats. So anyways, but I envision in the future, you know, we have some great natural resources up here. And as a hunter, I would love to see those resources being managed locally rather than some guy in L.A. that doesn't even know what a mountain lion is making laws for us. So I envision putting local control into, say, areas like hunting and wild game management and, you know, going back to a time when there was abundance of deer and there was abundance of animals and you weren't paying ridiculous prices. I haven't bought my hunting license yet this year, but between mine and my boys and the fishing license and deer tags, and I mean, I'm sure I'll be up $300 probably by the time I get done.
Well, a couple of statistics that have really brought home the problem with California to me this week. In the Mountain Echo, which is published by Walt Caldwell in Fall River Valley, there is some employment statistics for Bernie. The unemployment rate in Bernie is 13.1%.
Less than 4% nationally.
Thank you, California. That is due to restrictions and regulations. Bernie sits in a wealth of natural resources, and yet 13% of the people are unemployed. The population that sits at or below the poverty level in Bernie is 23%. Thank you, California. We cannot do any worse in Jefferson. So when people say, oh, we can't afford it, Jefferson just isn't financially viable, you're going to tell me California is?
Yeah, we can't afford not to. And now for my fellow hunters and fishermen out there, just envision a state where you go down to the river or you go out deer hunting or you go up into the woods and it's not full of people from San Jose and Sacramento and San Leandro, because if they are there, they've paid an out-of-state fee for their hunting license and fishing license, which, you know, as a hunter that went to Wyoming one time, you know, it was a great experience because when you run into people back there, even though nobody likes people from California, and I don't blame them, I don't either, but when you go out there, those people know that you have spent, you know, 5-10 times as much as the local residents have for those tags. You've brought money into their state. You've traveled to their state. You're staying in their hotels. You're eating at their restaurants. They're happy to see you. They know that you are helping their economy. So you know what? If I'm hunting deer hunting in Jefferson 5 years from now, and I see California plates on some Yahoo from San Jose, it won't bother me quite as bad because I'll know that that guy spent 10 times as much as I did. And, you know, he's up here and we got some money for him to help restore our deer habitat in the future. So
come to Jefferson and keep it green and gold.
And then go back home.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, I think that just about brings us to the end here. We've had a great time. Thanks for all the phone calls. We couldn't have done it without you. So we appreciate each and every one of you. And, again, our condolences out to the Kents. And, you know, we wish you the best, and you're in our prayers. So.
And the time has come.
Para la 51 estado. That's for my friend David Garcia, 51. Thank you, guys.
Bye, Jefferson. I did it here.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Redding Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Redding Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?